Hey, welcome everybody. It's time to grab your gear and see if you can catch up with us as we meet entrepreneur and world runner Karen Ware. She's going to invite us to join us on her run around the world, including some crazy places we're going to talk about today, sharing the stories of the people she meets and the lessons she learns along the way. So all that to find your fit. Let's find if Karen Ware is ready to share that with us here today. What do you say, Karen?
I'm about to share with you the world's highest and hardest marathon.
Oh, come on. Where is this at?
Everest Marathon at Base Camp of Everest is almost 18,000 feet. And as I did the 7-continent marathon in my story, I actually ran the one in Japan. And when I got there, I wasn't on the list. And so even though I finished the marathon and dove off to the side, it didn't count. So I had to search for another marathon in Asia. And I thought, to finish this 7-continent marathon goal, my heart has always, always, always wanted to meet the Nepalese and the Tibetans and see the Himalayas, and since I was a little girl. So I Googled, and lo and behold, there's the Everest Marathon. And it is quite a trek and quite a journey. So we're going to spend the time today talking about that. Also talking about how we part our time as busy people and do what we call living while making a living. And so I did the Everest Marathon, and I flew to Kathmandu, hopped on the world's shortest, most dangerous air flight into Lukla. It's the shortest runway on the earth.
Mm-hmm. And Does it go off like a mountain if you miss, if, it
well,
go, if you overshoot?
You land, it's actually on an incline. So you land going uphill so that you can slow down and not slam into the mountain.
That's
and
the
then
hope.
You take off going downhill so that you can catch like a butterfly and glide, and you really do. And it's like, come on, airplane, catch it. And then you take off. So that's Lukla. And from there is no vehicle transportation. It is by foot. It is by donkey or yak, or very much on the back of Sherpas. So I'm going to introduce you today. You can see, I don't know if you can see on the screen, I guess in the corner is a picture of a gentleman. He is sitting in Kathmandu.
Right now, you're calling us from Kathmandu.
Yes, and his name is Sudip, like in you're going to take a Sue, like S-U, S-U, and then you're going to dip it. And Sudip, introduce yourself.
What do you do? Oh, let's put his mic up.
There we got to put Sudip's mic up. Tell us your name, Sudip, and what are you?
Hello. Namaste. First, my honorable persons and my respected, my mom, thank you so much. And I'm Sudip. I'm from Nepal. I'm staying at Kathmandu nowadays. So thank you so much for these opportunities.
And you're a guide? You're a guide? You take people up the mountain? Is that what you do?
Yeah. I am a guide. Yes, I'm taking people to the mountain and for the trekking and for climbing peak.
And is this your full-time job, or do you do other things? Is this a part-time thing or a full-time thing? Do you do it all?
Full-time. So yeah. In Nepal, just 2 seasons. We have 2 seasons, spring season and October season. So I am busy 3 months of October and October season and spring month.
They have a thing called the monsoon season.
So just one.
Go ahead, Karen.
In monsoon season, I am free at home. I spend time with the kids.
He has a beautiful wife.
And even winter season.
I'm trying not to talk over everybody here, but I'm just trying to get a sense of, does he do this year-round? Apparently not. So what do you do the rest of the time in Nepal? I have no idea.
I don't have any work in Nepal. Yeah, because if we do another work, we have to do in whole year, whole month, so that I am doing trekking.
So I'll explain. They have a monsoon season where it starts to rain, like if you were in Alaska and it was snowing, or you were in the desert and it was too hot.
All those areas, India.
They can't get through the mud and the floods and all that stuff. So what we did, what I did with Sudip in trekking with him, I went there not to just a bucket list race, but to meet the cultures and bring those cultures back, to introduce them to my inner city Hispanic boys and you, all my runners and walkers in Southern California and let you know that there's incredible people and villages. And we decided to meet their needs. And as I was trekking, I said, Sudha, what's something that you could really use? And he said, really? A refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
He said, we don't, our stuff can't keep and people are getting sick because they're trying to, eat goods that are old. And so we bought a refrigerator and I have footage. And then I said, wait, Sudha, you bought the refrigerator in Kathmandu, your village. And he's from the village of, what's the name of your village, Sudha?
Sotan.
Sotan. And he's there. How yes. come? What's in that village for your daughters?
Still Sotan, but my village and my kids are staying in Sotan, but different distances wise is 3 hours far away from
so,
my village.
So his original village that he's raised in is 3 hours from that, and his wife's village is on the other mountain. So I actually was the first American to ever trek back after trekking season into those villages and get to meet his parents in the higher village, get to meet his wife's parents in the higher village. But they're in this village because there's a school that teaches English, and it's a great school. The government schools are not teaching the kids enough. And so what we do with Care and Wear events is when we found that out, we help them. It's only, I think the tuition is $20 or $30 a month, which is a lot to them. So anyway, so he's from the village of Sotan.
Can I ask two questions?
Yes.
I just got to ask people, listen to this. So is there electricity in these villages to run a refrigerator?
You can answer that, Sudha, sporadically.
I mean, do you use generators or electricity or what?
Electricity. We have electricity as well. So, but sometimes, like, so many load setting in here.
And so how do you get a refrigerator? This isn't Amazon doesn't deliver to
No, no, that's what I was getting to. That was too long a story, but he sent me footage of them strapping this half refrigerator to the back of a porter that they paid to carry it.
Wow. And some guy carried a refrigerator up the mountains here to this village?
Pretty much they carry amazing things, mattresses, wood,
televisions, whatever.
Yes,
yeah, right?
Yes. So then the second thing I asked him, was what else do you need? And he'd been working for 3 straight years to put money away to buy a motorcycle, but he was only halfway there. So our Care and Wear events actually earned the other half and matched his funds. And so now he has, tell us about the motorcycle. Because I saw film footage when he got it during the monsoon season. Yeah. They had to carry it across the rivers on poles. And I thought,
unbelievable here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell us what it's like to be on that motorcycle and come to Kathmandu. It takes how many days?
Yes.
Tell us that journey of getting the motorcycle to you.
My village to Kathmandu.
Yeah, what was it like to take the motorcycle, ride that motorcycle on those roads?
This is very, very long way from my village to Kathmandu.
It is. 2 days, 3 days, who knows?
Yeah, 12, 13-hour continued drive.
All right, so we got to move this along here. So we've got two very patient women sitting in the studio here listening to this because why are they here and talking to Sudha?
They actually, I put a thing out there that being active and being outdoors, there's something for everybody and everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And these ladies have always had it on their bucket list to go to Everest. Everest Base Camp and test themselves against the world's highest and hardest. So I'm going to introduce Patty and I'm going to introduce Michelle and they're going to jabber a little bit. And then we're going to jabber about what we did locally this last weekend to prep them for this.
So let's start with Patty. Why would you go all the way to Mount Everest Base Camp to try and run a marathon?
Well, I have FOMO and it's because of my neighbor, Michelle, which is sitting next to me. She approached me about a year ago and said, I want to go to Everest. And I says, okay, good luck on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
Call me when you get back.
Yes. It's been on her bucket list for many, many times. We've actually traveled the world together on many marathons. and she...
Because you're both business women. I understand
yes.
you both have businesses that can support this kind of lifestyle
yes.
and take you around the world.
And
haven't you decided that this is only something you do in your 20s?
Yes.
That was part of it. I thought to myself, I'm not getting any younger. It's time to do this.
Yeah, right.
So this is why I brought them to the podcast. I just want to put it out there to everybody is we call it living while making a living. Don't wait until it's the end. Do it, you know, while the during. And it isn't easy. It's hard to part your schedule and to make these commitments and stuff, but these ladies are going to tell you more.
And it's scary.
Yes.
And
it's
far
away.
But you
got to live the moment. You
yeah.
have to live your moment.
Yes.
And anyway, so going back to really quick. So Michelle approached me a year ago and I immediately said, no, I'm not doing that one with
you. Good for you. Good for you.
And then, I'm not kidding, about 30 days later, I thought about it. It took me about a month to really think about it. And I woke up in the middle of the night. This was about maybe 2 or 3 a.m. I go, she won't be up. She answers the phone and I said, I'm going with you.
Wow.
And that was it.
That was it. Exactly.
How long does it take to get there? Forget about
I
the
have
money.
No idea. But I'm going to do it.
Okay.
And then it is literally, bless his heart. It is 10 p.m. and we're, you know, it's halfway around the world. So it's night is day and day is night. And
is it tomorrow over there?
Yeah, almost. No, it's about, you know, 12-hour difference. But it's a commitment to get there because you're going into some major, you know, flight transitions. And then you're getting on a little plane that putzers over to Kathmandu. And there is an amazing set of people that are just waiting to greet you. And I have never found a more gracious, gentle, hardworking, amazing people than the Nepalese.
Now, so can I sound like my mother now? Is it safe to do this?
So, Sudip, is it safe? They actually...
Got to be kind of putting yourself at some risk, I mean, of falling or getting sick or...
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Life is a risk. And,
yes.
And if you don't have the confidence that you can be in it. And that's why we're going to talk about our little trek day in the San Bernardino Mountains. We knew that the storm that's brewing in California, which is really rare, but a pretty good sized storm came into California and we went out in it anyway.
What?
And to the point where I have on my phone and I have texts and I have phone messages from the little community up in Green Valley Lake. Hey, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Are you surviving? Are you? Because they knew, you know, the weather changed and it did, and the temperature dropped.
And people do get caught up in the mountains.
Yeah, but if you're caught with the right equipment, so tell us what you guys had in your backpacks and what we had to pull out and what we had to do on this trek.
This is you're taking them up to train them and get
yes.
them ready for the
and
real
and the reason
trek,
I'm doing right? that is I just want to let everyone know out there you've got adventure right in your own backyard. You have
wow.
adventure here in Orange County and Saddleback Mountain and all these little trails. And
so you guys went up in the mountain and it's raining. Is
okay,
it snowing?
Michelle,
is it snowing?
It was going to hit, but it was coming over the mountain. It was going to fog us in and then it was
and
drop
just,
the tremper.
Just the three of you or you have a whole
no.
Well, we had Champ. That's Karen's dog.
Okay.
We did have Champ. He was running around keeping us safe, but we were very lucky. We packed as if we were doing the Everest trip. So we had lots of clothes and food and water, unlike a couple other crazy people out there that did not come very well prepared.
So good thing that she was prepared because poor Champ, he ate all my food right away. And then he started coming and sniffing her pack and she had beef jerky.
I had beef
jerky. About bears, you got a hungry dog.
Yes. So we were able to share some beef jerky with him. That was good.
And very interesting. We ran across only one other hiker out there. And
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Gee,
and
big surprise.
He didn't have any electrolytes on him, just water. And he was a personal trainer and physically fit, but his he was cramping up and he asked us if we had any electrolytes and we're like, hey, we have, you know, our survival pack so tell us what you packed in your pack.
Well, I had different jackets and beanies and gloves and some electrolytes, some beef jerky and different dried food and trail mix, you know, the typical grab-and-go food.
No alcohol? I need some alcohol to do this.
That's always the reward when you get back.
So they actually, Sudip can add to this, but at the lodges, they do have the opportunity in between all those villages. Got to be really careful with alcohol high altitude. It really does affect you faster.
It does.
But yeah, so that we were out there, you know, experiencing it. And I took him out there because I knew that there was snow. So tell us about the snow.
Yeah, there was a little bit more snow than we anticipated. It was like walking in the softest sand you've ever walked in for 12 miles. So that was fun. My calves felt that for several days afterwards, but we made it and we're alive and here it is for the next day.
What, does your family say? Do you have children and significant others?
Yes.
And they're like, no way.
Yes. No, she has young adult children. They're like, can we go, Mom?
Okay. Yeah, my son is interested, but he's going to pass this first time around. I think he's waiting to see
if Mom survives.
Exactly. When I did ask for the time off of work, because it goes back to the work-life balance, and I thought, I've always wanted to go to Everest Base Camp, and then I learned that there was a race attached to it. So they kind of killed two birds with one stone. And then I kept thinking I was going to ask for the time off because you need to take about a month off.
Wow.
And I thought there's no way my boss would let me. So I finally asked him and he responded back in his email, absolutely, just don't die.
Just don't die.
that was his response. So then I could tell the husband and then the child after I had the approval from work. But everybody, there hasn't really been too many people that have said, that's great, that's wonderful. Everyone usually says
crazy.
What the hell? Why are you doing that? You know, but it's
so wait till they see the pictures and the experience and what you bring back. He should have explain to us how you trek, how you take the trek to Everest Base Camp, and you know, going through Namche
and how far and get to.
Yeah.
take us along vicariously. Take us along. We want to share this without going there. What's it like? Tell us what the journey's like.
Yes. Totally trek will be for 13 to 14 days, right? So, yes, first day from Lukla, it starts from Lukla to Phagting, first day walk. This is all of the trek is most easier part, right? And another day, Namche, from Phagting to Namche, it will take 6 to 7 hours, and it might be difficult for you because all the way to up gradual up, and from that way, you can get a chance for the glimpse of Everest.
It's when you can see Everest for the first time that after that second day.
So if you hear him, he's talking in hours. You always say, hey, how far are we going to walk? They don't do miles. Everything's is just in time. You know, today's
so
maybe
six,
five
seven,
or six,
six
hours.
7 hours. And then you can do this for how many days? 12, 13 days? How many days?
Yes, too bad. For the Everest marathon runners takes a whole 15 days to Lukla, but for the trekkers, Everest base camp, 12 days.
Now, do our guests know that? I don't think they knew it was that far and that long.
Yes, they do. That's why they had to take 30 days off to get there. Right.
The flying there, the trekking, and the flying back, it's going to be a long trip.
Describe a lodge. Describe, when you come you come into these villages and they're waiting for you. The very last lodge, describe Gorbachev, which is the very last lodge, but it's not a village. But it's there to house you and get you ready to, and then tell them what they have to do before they go to Everest Base Camp to be ready and acclimate.
Oh, from Gorbachev, right?
Yeah. So just take them from Gorbachev. What is there? There's an indoor lodge and it feeds them?
Yes, there's just only 5 hotels there. Right? So they're very, very busy.
Is it like a Hilton? Is it like a hut? What
it is
it
a.
Like?
I made them at my cabin sleep on these little kid flat beds it's a pine wood bunk.
A pine wood bunk. All right. So it's not what we think of as a lodge. It's it's really just a roof over your head.
Yes.
Have to do to acclimate? Because you're at what height?
Tell them about where they're going to have to go before they go to Everest Base Camp, which I think is the biggest reward up there because you can't see Everest from Base Camp, the actual top of the mountain. So they take you up
From Gorakhsev, for the acclimatize, we do that place called the Kalapathar, right?
It's a beautiful summit.
This is 5,564. meter.
5,564 meters, whatever
that's
that is. What is that, like 15,000?
17,000.
Right.
17,000.
Yeah.
From there.
And what's the biggest mountain here in the continental United States, if you go to...
So on the continental, it's, isn't it Mount Whitney at 14,000? Yeah. But if you go up
California,
to Alaska, then
it's
you've
Mount.
Got Kinley, McKinley, yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, and we don't even come close.
Because I huff and puff if I get up about 7, 8, or 9,000 feet.
Yeah, and that's really where all bodies start to huff and puff is about 9,000 feet, almost 10,000. So anyway, we're gonna capsulize this whole thing
yeah,
so that
we're down to our last 5 minutes.
And
five
what
minutes.
We really want you to do is know that there's adventure out there, and we're going to have you take you on this adventure with these two beautiful ladies in Sudip and myself, and just show you what's involved in just making the commitment to go meet and
read
something.
And are they going to come back on after it's over and
tell absolutely.
Us about
we have to. And
absolutely.
Then, so I want to send you to my YouTube channel, which is Karen with a C. So C-A-R-E-N.
Because you care.
Yes, yeah. Because I care. And I'm sincere about that. And there's a whole history in that. But Karen Ware Events, and put the dots in it. And the last post that we put on the YouTube channel was the heart behind Karen Ware Events. And it has footage in there of Sudip, the guide. And it has footage of us...
dragging the refrigerator.
Yes, it does. It actually has footage of the refrigerator, the motorcycle. And then we did a beautiful thing. He has an amazing wife, and he has... two amazing girls that are just doing a great job focusing on school, and they have a hard time too when the men are out all trekking.
I'll
is
bet.
How
yeah.
do they support themselves? And it's a little stressful. And when I went to visit the village,
and
she hums.
He wanted to say something here. And
So what do we do? What do we do for your wife?
And for my wife and my mom, like Karen were mom. See help for the beauty salon.
A beauty salon?
So we sent her to beauty school in Kathmandu.
What?
And then we have footage of them carrying what do you call the chair the wash basin and the soaps?
Well, I plan on getting my hair washed there.
Hair wash in Kathmandu. All right, last couple minutes here. This is an amazing thing. I can't even wrap my head around it. If people want to join this crazy community and meet some of them, you guys generally go out every month and run summer. You do these themed runs.
Yeah, to support the things that I ran into by running the marathons, remote marathons around the world, and one of them is Sudip, his family, and his village, is I put on Karen Ware Events, and that's 5K, 10K half marathons. I do one major themed race in Southern California. And
every month.
And so if you go to Karen Ware Events with the C.
Give us a couple coming up in Irvine.
Well, this weekend, this Sunday in Huntington State Beach, we're doing the rodeo run, and we're going to have live horses, cowboys.
We're pre-taping this.
Yeah, we're pre-taping that. So Friday. Oh, wait, that's like way done. Okay,
we just let the cat out of the bag. We're pre-taping this.
You know why? Because we're pre-taping this because I have this uniform on. I just got assigned to run the World Masters Indoor Track and Field Championships in Florida and represent the United States in the indoor pentathlon, the
amazing.
Long jump, the high jump, you name it.
Sounds like another show. All right, so,
this
is going to air when people actually
hear it. This is going to air right before in the end of March, and then our next race will be the Rabbit Run in Irvine in April for celebrating the spring. And then we'll just tell you from there. You know,
you
just go to Karen Ware Events. Yeah,
you got some other ones.
We have a splash dash at Wild Rivers. Go to Karen Ware Events.
And what
hit
is
the
this?
Calendar
Where
section.
In the world adventures? You got some sign
and
or
that
something?
Was my last plug here. So one is you got it. Your assignments are go watch the YouTube. So and then there is one. It's actually my most watched. It has like 40,000 people that watched it. There is the Everest Marathon. So you can go back and relive my experience running the Everest Marathon.
And compare it to the experience of these two young ladies that are going to try this trek here too.
Yeah. And then I started and I just put a shingle out there. Look up Ware, W-A-R-E, in the world. Adventures, and I am going to offer all these places that I've been to, the experiences for you guys out there. So hit me up, hit contact.
Are you going to lead people on these expeditions?
Yeah, I'm going to either lead them to Sudip or the right people that's going to put them in experiences
them
or take them on an adventure. Wow. Camp Karen, guys. Well, we did camp. What did you guys think of Camp Karen?
It was fabulous. It was so fun.
Yeah, just one day in the San Bernardino Mountains was like epic.
Yep.
So what is it? I'm gonna try and cut Karen off because she'll go on for four more hours about 40 more inspirational things and things she's done. I just want to hear from Patty and her friend here. What take us out? What do you tell people? How, when you stumbled into this community that surrounds Karen and these events and started considering not just running here in Irvine but running around the world, what's that like? And can we do this or just you?
Absolutely. Anybody can do what they want to do and put their mind to it.
Absolutely.
And I just say, go do it.
Absolutely.
And everything else falls into place once you make that decision.
And if people, what's your friends say to this here?
I agree. I definitely have the mindset that you can do anything you want. You just have to put in the time, the energy, the training. But we have one life. And get out there and
age,
live it.
Age, money, any of this stuff.
You just
stuff,
make it happen. You save, 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 and do.
Absolutely, because so many people wait until they retire to travel, and then they don't have the physical body to do it. They don't, but they have the pocketbook. So you have to make the memories along the way.
That's the truth.
You just never know when something's going to happen.
My dad, he saved his whole life so he could live life well in retirement, except my mother got sick.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was
that
the end of that.
Happens a lot. Mm-hmm.
And that happens all the time. You know, my father just had back surgery, and they've been waiting to travel, and now they're waiting for him to heal and hope to be able to start traveling. So you can't wait. You know, you've got to get out there. You've got to make it work.
Well, we have to wait to hear more because we can't do any more here today. We're out of time. Yeah. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you.
Ware,
March 20th.
And
March 20th is the air.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. And Suda, thank you so much for sticking with us. I know English isn't your first language, but I want to tell you did a great job.
Yes.
And we appreciate you staying up late to share a little bit about what people can see if they join you and Karen and these women and other people on these amazing treks. Runs, as crazy as it is, to run up to the base camp of Mount Everest.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time. I don't even know how to tackle stories like this. So much to take in, so much to hear, so much that people are doing right here in our own backyard. Come out and join us as we run into life. The Journey of Finding Your Fit with host Karen Ware.